Blog Talk Radio.
Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. Welcome to our Jummah service. And we're going to go ahead and call the adhan in just a moment. We're here in Los Angeles, California, in the Watts area. And I'm the Grand Sheikh in culture. My name is Muhammad Khatib. I'll be your Khatib for the day, the speaker for the Jummah. And our subject today is dealing with us making sure that we are seeking salvation from Allah, and that the Muslim religion is the religion of human salvation, and that America must, in fact the world, must embrace or use al-Islam if they want to be successful, if they want to survive. So we're going to go ahead and call the adhan, and stay on the line and do not hang up. Thank you.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah. Hayya ala salah, hayya ala salah, hayya ala falah, hayya ala falah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Brothers and sisters, welcome to our Jummah today. We're going to go ahead and open up the Jummah with a greeting. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah, ahmaduhu wa astainahu wa astahdihi wa astaghfiruhu wa ashadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. And in the translation, we're saying, I seek refuge with Allah against Satan, the rejected enemy. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, we praise him, we seek his aid, his guidance, and his forgiveness. I bear witness openly that there is nothing and no one worthy of worship except Allah, the one and only. He has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is his servant and his messenger. Again, dear beloved brothers and sisters, welcome to our Jummah, and peace be unto you, or as we say in Arabic, Assalamu alaikum. And today we are going to just speak about, from our papers here and the teachings from our khutbah papers today, we're going to talk about our subject matter, which is that the Muslim religion or the Islamic religion is human salvation, and it must be used and accepted in America for America to survive, and not just America, but anywhere in the world. This is the religion or way of life that keeps humanity in us as this particular type of creature or creation of Allah. It keeps our humanity in us. It keeps us performing higher than animal performance. It keeps us performing as a thinking soul, better known as human being. We need human salvation. We need it. And America must use it. Our society must use it. We must be people who spread this way of life in every area of society, every area of our daily life. Every waking hour, every minute, we must be those who are willing to live the Islamic religion. We don't want to just study it and know it. We want to study it, know it, and apply it. You know you need your soul to be saved. You know you need to be saved. You need to be saved from mind robbers. There are people, smart people in the world, who follow Satan. And they will rob you of your good life. You need to be saved from mind robbers today. You need to be saved from pocket robbers, people who know how to empty out your pockets financially, who know how to attack you on in so many areas of life. Stay on the line. We have a caller coming in. People who know how to attack you in every area of life. They are time robbers, people who waste your time, having you repeat your deeds over and over again. So if it takes you 2 minutes to do something, and then you get into a situation that has to make you where you have to do it again, now you're using 2 minutes plus two more minutes. If you have to repeat that three or four times, look at how you're wasting your life. And if you were at the end of your life on your deathbed, most people would want a little more time. You know, people are known for saying, I don't want to die, which means that they want some more time. Allah says in the Holy Quran that when the time has come for us, that's the end. There's no more time that he's going to give. So we have to stop wasting time. We have to stop letting people waste our time, waste our pockets, our finances. You know, it takes effort, takes work in order to achieve something. I don't care if it's money or if it's harvest or whatever it is. To accomplish something, it takes work. It takes time. And we don't want our resources or our efforts to be wasted. So we have to get people out of our pockets. We have to get people out of our minds. We don't want people wasting our minds. If they waste your mind or tie your mind up with confusion and nonsense and lies and superstition and worries and fears, if they tie your mind time up, then they're using up your life. So there's mind robbers, there's pocket robbers, there's time robbers, there's life robbers. They're wasting your whole life. No matter what area of life you're using, Satan has sent people to try to attack that. So we have to be strong in every area of life. And if you let your life be attacked like that, they actually are attacking your soul, because you have to live. You're the person that has to live in that body. You're the person that has to use that time. You're the person who's in charge of your resources. So you don't want robbers, the friends and children of Satan, the associates of Satan, to rob you of anything. So the Muslim must be strong in every area of life. He has to spread his way of life and keep it strong in everything that he's doing. And Allah, that's why Allah has 99 names, so he can show you that he has every area of your life covered. I'm just going to mention a few of Allah's names. Allah is the one who is glorious. He is strong. He's the reviver. He's the loving. He's the wise. He's the kind. He's the eternal. He's the one who gives life, who creates us, gives us life and time, and carries us. He cherishes and sustains us and carries us through life for all the time that we live. Allah is the able. Allah is the one who rewards you, and he is alive inwardly and outwardly. And when I say reward, I mean he provides for you. Allah is in you and he's outside of you. Allah is what's called pervasive. He never leaves you, and he is not controlled or shut out of any time or place or space. When you fall down, Allah is the restorer. He's the forgiver. He's the one who can recreate you. Yeah, he's the creator. And it says in the Quran that, don't you see that Allah, if he wanted to, he could destroy you and replace you with people who will act better than you? So these are just some of the names of Allah that he has 99 attributes on this chart that I'm looking at here. Allah has more attributes than this, but these are the 99 that are the most familiar to the Muslims. Allah is the one who can make you do things against your will. He's the compeller. Allah is the strong. He's the able, as I mentioned. But at the same time, Allah is merciful. He's gracious to you. He's helpful to you. He's the Holy One. He's the Divine King. Allah brings peace to you. He's the peace. Al-Mu'min, the peace. Allah is the gatherer. He's the enricher. Allah can make you richer than anyone else on earth. Don't you know there are people on earth who have more wealth or who have accumulated more wealth than anybody else on earth? And they say, oh, he's the richest man, she's the richest woman, they're the richest nation or whatever. Allah enriches us. Some people have material riches, and that's what we think of first. But the greatest riches is to be near to Allah, where you, because of Allah's mercy, have access to whatever he wants you to have access to. You will be the greatest soul on earth, like Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him. You'll be the greatest minds on earth, the greatest thinkers, the most inventive or creative. You'll be the wisest. You'll have the most knowledge. Don't you know the knowledge that you need? You have no idea the knowledge that you need to survive in a society like this. It just comes to you in the form of you always need something. You always want something. There's always some pressure on you. And you always say, oh, I'm stressed out, or I feel this pressure, I feel this stress, I feel like I can't get ahead, I feel trapped, I feel like I'm in a dead-end job or whatever. Brothers and sisters, our way of life, the Muslim way of life, will break you out of that, will develop you out of that, grow you out of that. You will survive and survive big time. And that's why Allah made this religion, for your advancement, for your growth, for your development, for your salvation. And we're telling people that in order to be saved, in order to really be helped, you have to come into this way of life. This way of life is generated. Yes, I know you, many of us are nature. We love nature. We love the natural things. But this way of life called Al-Islam is generated through the word of Almighty God Allah in the Holy Quran, the revelation called Quran, that which Allah wanted Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the prayer and the peace be upon him, to recite or teach to the whole world. Recite, teach, talk it, live it. This is what the revelation is sent for. And he is the one who lived it, the prophet, the prayers and the peace be upon him. He lived it better than any human being that ever lived. But it's available to all of us. And brothers and sisters, we won't be able to do it 100% like the prophet, peace be upon him. But we can get so close to 100%, and this religion is so pure. This religion is so pure that even if you're a person who can contribute 10%, of what the religion is, that 10% or that 15% or that 30% of what you can do of that of this religion is so pure that that 10% will make a difference in people's lives. That 30% will make a difference in people's lives. Allah says of the Holy Quran, read as much as may be easy for you. And it's talking about live as much as may be easy for you. Do as much as may be easy for you. Whatever you can do, brothers and sisters, of this way of life called Al-Islam, it will make a difference in any environment. That's how powerful it is. This religion is alive. Al-Islam is a living religion. It's living religion. In fact, the language that it was revealed in, Arabic, is a living religion. The Quranic Arabic is the most alive religion on earth. The Quranic Arabic is the most alive or living religion on earth because it is the divine word, the eternal word of the creator of the earth. The creator of the heavens and the earth is so merciful that he has sent his own word to us through a man like ourselves, and he has shown what will happen to a human being when they live the word, the divine word of Allah, the divine word of the Creator, performing or living inside of that human being, occupying the space in that human being, in that body, in that soul, available to that consciousness, that mind, available to the thinking, the divine revelation, the words of Allah, his own words available to us, will make a huge difference, even if we only know a little bit of it. So I hope you can see that by being a Muslim and knowing what Muslims know and studying what Muslims know and studying what Muslims are commanded to live, you will see it make a difference in your life. I hope you can see it will make a difference in your life. You have to believe it, though, and you have to use it. You have to have belief. You have to believe that these words are from the Creator and that they will work for you. And then you have to look around and say, who else has it worked for? And then you see people who used to be all thrown off or injured or damaged or crazy or whatever, and you see them coming back to life. You see them doing and working miracles in their life because of the fact that they believe in that same words or in that same truth or in that same body of knowledge, that volume of knowledge called Al-Islam, called the revelation of Allah. Allah's own living words operating or functioning inside of you will revive you. You heard me say that one of the attributes of Allah is the reviver. Yeah, we get the words of Allah from his names. We get the words of Allah from his divine character or his divine nature, his divine presence, his divine self. It's the greatest self. It's the most real self. It's the most true self. And that's who we worship. We worship the true. We worship the real, the most real. We worship the most high. And that's who we worship. Allah is not physical. But he is a divine spirit that's so real, so powerful, so strong, so high, so great, that he actually can make other realities, and that's who we are. We're part of the reality that Allah can make as he wills, as he plans. Whatever he desires, it can be done. All he has to say is kun fayakun, which is the Quranic way of saying be, and it is. Be, and then it becomes. When he plans anything, he just says be, and it is. And we don't know. We can't read Allah's divine mind. We barely know what our own selves are thinking and doing. We barely can control our own selves. But whenever Allah plans anything, he lets it happen. And I know you've experienced this. You may not have recognized it. But when Allah wants some good to come to you, it can come to you from ways, and you say, man, how did this happen? Wow, what a mysterious thing. What a miracle. What a coincidence. Yeah, right. It's not a coincidence. It's the will of Allah that he lets something good happen to you. And the way you know it's coming from Allah is because good keeps happening to you. It keeps happening to you. It keeps happening to you over and over and over again. Why? Because you believe and because you're doing good things. You're thinking good things. You're saying good things. You're being in good places. You're making good things happen for yourself and others. And Allah will bless you. Allah says every good deed you do, he multiplies it. Don't ever think it's your own self doing what you want to do and you can control yourself all the time. You are a partner in it, in your action. I mean, like they say, some people say you're the co-pilot or God is your co-pilot. He gives you authority and he gives you responsibility. You're accountable for what you know. But you can't just do anything you want to do with it. No. It's Allah's grace and his mercy. It's we say in Arabic, bi-ithnillah. It's in the Quran, bi-ithnillah. Bi-ithnillah means by the permission, by Allah's permission, he lets happen that thing that you desire to happen. Sometimes you don't even expect it, but Allah blesses you with it because he loves you. Al-Wadud, Allah is the very loving. Al-Wadud, the very loving. Allah loves you. And Allah will help you. He will protect you. He will protect you. Al-Muhaymin, he's the protector. Al-Razak, he's the provider. Yes. Al-Mu'min, Allah will, he's trustworthy. And he's looking at you all the time. Al-Raqib, he's watching you, watching over you. Al-Basir, he sees everything in the whole creation. As-Sami. He hears everything in the heavens and the earth. He created all of that, brothers and sisters. You might say, whoa, the heavens is so big, though. I can kind of comprehend the earth because I know you can fly from here to Europe, or you can fly from here to Africa, you can fly from here to China, Asia, wherever.
I know you can go down to the South Pole, the North Pole. I can kind of comprehend the earth. But the heavens, he makes the heavens and the earth. That's real big. Yes, and Allah is greater than that. Allah is greater than everything. And Allah is the one, as I said, he's not material, so there's no physical dimensions that you need to try to apply. Allah gives us math and logic to apply so our own minds can have what's called understanding, knowledge and understanding. But Allah is not someone you can understand. You only can understand what he reveals to you that's understandable for you, and he gave you the ability to be able to understand. Yes, it's just like that. And greater. So Allah is bigger than the natural creation. And we know about the planets, and they go far out, and they go out past Mars and past Neptune and past, you know, Uranus, call it, beyond, into the stars and all out into other solar systems. Allah is greater than all of that. If you lived a million lifetimes, you will not come to the end of what Allah has created. He's greater and bigger than that. But look at how merciful Allah is that he lets you encapsulate a certain amount of understanding. Your understanding can be so big that others on the earth will be scared of you because of the vastness of your knowledge, the power of your knowledge and your wisdom and your understanding. And you can be made of something that will frighten them. Look how Shaitan is, he says he's made of fire. And his knowledge and his wisdom and his trickery is awesome. It's powerful. But at the end, when he tricked a whole bunch of people and got people in all kind of trouble and got hell to be all filled up, he runs away and says, guess what? I fear Allah. He said, don't blame me. Blame your own self for disobeying Allah. He said, don't blame me. He said, I only called you, but you listened to me. So don't blame me. Blame your own self. So even Shaitan with vast knowledge, and you know, the areas of light that we were talking about, the mind and the, you know, the time and the finances. Look how Shaitan just rattles our life and oppresses us and keeps us down because he comes at us through all these different ways. And he just oppresses us and horrifies life for us. Makes some people say, I can't take it no more, and they kill themselves because they can't take it. So even the awesome knowledge that Allah gives to Shaitan, that's nothing. It rattles us, but because Allah loves us, Allah says if we listen to him who has all knowledge, Allah has all knowledge. He knows everything. If we attach ourselves to Allah's power through faith, by believing in Allah, Allah will pull us past Shaitan and will raise us up above Shaitan. We will not be arrogant. We will not be mean. We will not be cruel. We will be merciful. Just like Allah, we will be merciful. We will be, and Allah says he is merciful, most merciful of those who show mercy. But Allah will raise us up so high that we will be a creature called, and the human being will have a new name. He'll be called the vicegerent, the khalifa, the caretaker of the whole earth. You'll be bigger and greater than Shaitan, and Shaitan will flee from you. He will not have the power to handle you because he knows that you'll be a person who's totally submitted to the will of Allah. You only want to do what Allah says for you to do in the Holy Quran, not in your own mind, because Shaitan can get in your mind and make you think that you should do something that he put in your mind. That's why so many people are astray today, because they follow they follow them. I call them the criminal they. They follow what the world teaches them. This is how they do it. But this is how they do it, though. No, don't follow them. We are told that we have to submit ourselves or our will. We have to submit our thinking, our desires. We have to submit our whole selves to Allah. Then we get pulled up higher than Satan, and he cannot control us. And then he flees. Satan says, give me time, Allah. Let me manipulate them. Let me come at them. Let me attack them. Let me misguide them. Let me mislead them. Let me share with them families and family life and everything. Let me be their husband or their wife. Let me be the child that needs to bring the whole family down. Let me come at them from every direction. And I'll show you that most of them will not be grateful. He said, I'll bring them under my sway, and I'll show you under my power, and I'll show you that most of them will not be grateful for your favors. And Allah told Shaitan, well, go your way then, but any that follow you, I'll fill hell with them. But Shaitan knows what Allah has said. Allah says some of them you will not be able to get. Those who are sincere and purified. Ila ibadaka minhumu muklasin. Ila ibadaka minhumu muklasin. My servants who are sincere and purified, you will not be able to get them. And Shaitan said, well, give me time. Just let me go ahead and do whatever I'm going to do. Let me come at them destructively until the time that that muklasin is raised up. That muklasin, that vicegerent, that khalifa. Give me time until that kind of character shows up in the people or in the person or in the people. You know, because some prophets, they had the muklasin. They were the vicegerent, but they didn't even have no followers because people rejected them. Said, man, we're going to kill you if you don't leave our town or city. And some messengers were killed. And many of them were rejected. So some messengers had no followers. But it doesn't matter if you are strong in your own self, if you are obedient to Allah, if you surrender, submit your whole self, your whole thinking, your whole feelings, your desires, whatever the world telling you to desire, But if you submit your desires and your thinking to Allah, you will be that muklasin that Shaitan will not be able to get or handle. Yes. His army, his followers, his family will not be able to get you. So they go for the mind. They want to enter the mind through many, many doors. And Allah has blockage for all the avenues that they want to enter and attack you through. We are thankful to Allah. We must obey Allah. We must be a believer in Allah. And then Allah will control and help you. Allah will enrich you. Allah will empower you. Allah will strengthen you. Thabita, I believe is the word, the Arabic word, thabita. Allah will enrich you and empower you, and the shaitans will not be able to get you. Allah covers every door, so shaitan will not be able to get you. He will have no hope through you. The Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Quran are called Al-Basiran, the true, Al-Basiran is the true and good news. Al-Bashir, the prophets call that Bashir. And he sent as a guide and a mercy and a bringer of good news and a warner. Bashirun and Nazirun. So the Bashir is the good and true news brought to the life of the believer that will have a complete salvation, give you complete salvation sent by Allah, your creator. So we're not stuck in the life of the dunya by Shaitan. We're not stuck in the life of this world, of the material world, by his whispers. You know, let's say you get a house, you buy a house, and the house costs $500,000. The way Shaitan comes at people, he adds the interest and the fees and all that stuff so much so that you're not going to pay $500,000 for that house. You're going to pay more like $1 million for that house. This is the usury, and this is one of the ways that Satan comes at you through your pocket, through your finances, to keep you enslaved. So we have to be strong, brothers and sisters, and pay attention to what Allah has ordered for us. I have a few notes here, so I'm going to go through some of my notes, and inshallah. So So society gives you dunya guidance. Yeah, the life of this world, the dunya guidance. The people, the politicians, the so-called religious leaders, the political leaders, the philosophers, the cultural leaders, the actors, the singers, you know, the social thinkers. These are the ones who are trying to give you dunya guidance, the life of this world, the guidance of man, the whims and the desires and the fads and all that stuff, the things that man wants to do with the time that he has here. But Allah tells us, do not follow that kind of behavior. It says, "Wa in tuti akthara man fil ard yudilluka an sabilillahi in yattabi'una ila zanna wa inhum ila yakrusun." If you were to follow the common run of the people in the material world or in your society or land, you will be led away from the way of Allah, because they do nothing but guesswork. You know what guesswork means? It means that they don't have any real knowledge. Brothers and sisters, it's a disgrace and it's a sin for a Muslim to follow people who don't have real knowledge. They can never and are never allowed to be in charge of a believer, because a believer follows the Quran, which is all true knowledge. La rayba fi, no doubt in it. La rayba fi, hudan lil muttaqin. No doubt is in it, and it is guidance for those who fear Allah, obey Allah, love Allah, will follow Allah, submit to Allah. So we have to be careful of this dunya knowledge or this material world or society knowledge, because then the Satan uses you, and it's like he drops you into a maze. I don't know if you know what a maze is, but it's like little routes or avenues, and there's only so many ways out of the maze. And here you are running down these little hallways of your life, and these little avenues of your life, and you turn this way, you turn that way, you turn, some of them are dead ends. The ones that are not dead ends, they lead you to some kind of tragedy, which is really a dead end too. And you run back the other way, you run back this way, you run back that way. But the keeper of the, or the master of the maze, the master of that trap, he's the only one who knows the real way out. But he's got you living in it, and you're just like that rat. You're just like that rat, and that rat thinks that he's getting somewhere, doesn't he? He just go this way, go that way. He's sniffing, he's smelling, he's looking, he run this way, run that way, turn around, go back. And he thinks he's getting somewhere just because he's moving. That's one of the biggest, it's really a disgrace. It's really an insult to think you're getting somewhere just because you're moving. I heard Imam Muhammad, may Allah bless him and be pleased with him, our great scholar and our great leader here in America, that use this unorthodox manner of applying the Holy Quran in our lives in America that has given us great salvation. And he put much of that with his father's teaching, which was to have strength in America and be able to stand up on your own and refuse to give in to the environment, even though you could be wrong. But he didn't ever think he was wrong. Elijah Muhammad never thought he was wrong. But he was a great reformer in America, a great reformer. And if you take that kind of strength and will to follow your way and then get the real way, like we were blessed with through Imam Muhammad, which is from the Quran, in the Quran, then you got it. And that's why we're able to claim our own and stand on our own here in America. And we're not looking over in other countries for leadership. If they came over here, and even when they do come over here, you see that they really don't know where they're going or how to do this thing. Here we are, born in America, have gone through all this hell, and Allah blessed us with the book, and he blessed us with strength. And now we can tutor and advise and lead anyone else from all over the world, even though they don't think so. Some of them think just because they know the Quran by heart, they don't have to listen to you. And that's why they end up all tortured and driven crazy and scared of the media, which claims they're nothing but a bunch of terrorists, and then they're scared because and then the government stop them and won't let them do this, won't let them. We were born here. We have fought for this country. We have died for this country. We are the Muslims who are born in America and Allah brought the book over here. We didn't have to go over there someplace and ask somebody, can you help me? Can you lead me? No, we're qualified to lead the whole world with what we know and the kind of guts that we got. Yes, I wanted to use another word, but that's enough. Because of the kind of guts that we got, we can stand up in America strong and tall and dare them to bother us. We don't care about no death. No, we're going to live a life here that's going to scare them to death. We're going to live a life that's going to be scarier than us being and make us more successful and successful than anything they could do to us, even if they was trying to wipe us out. While we're alive, we're scaring them to death. They can't move. And they're hoping that their deepest, darkest nightmare never happens, that the so-called black man takes over. Yeah, that's their biggest scare. They say that the black man is the greatest threat to national security. Do you know that? Some of you don't know that. But you see how the police treat you and the environment treats you, the TV treats you, the movies treat you. You see how you're treated in the media. Don't you realize that somebody out there don't like you? But Allah loves you. So if you live like Allah wants you to live, you will be a threat to Satan. And the only ones that won't be afraid of you are the ones that won't be afraid of you, the ones who are not following Satan. They'll be real-minded about you, and they'll respect you, and they'll see that you got knowledge power, truth power, wisdom power, guts to walk around in America like you're the freest man here, which you are. The earth belongs to Allah. That's what the Quran says. The earth belongs to Allah. Quit asking and begging your society that you were born in to let you be free someday and let you overcome someday when Allah birthed you, allowed you to be birthed to overcome in the land he put you in. And you got the knowledge and the wisdom and the guidance and the protection of Allah to back you up and to keep you going? Oh, brothers and sisters, it's a shame that you are weak or scared in America. It's a shame that you let feeble little people frighten you, and they claim that their color is better, makes them better. They claim that their religious doctrine makes them better, and they're on their knees praying to a dead body, statue of a dead body. How is that person better than you? And then they have rituals where they actually pretend that they're eating the dead body. How is that person better than you? They make the statues in the factories. How are these people better than you? And then their ministers and their priests get caught doing the most despicable and the most wicked acts on the children of their land. How are they better than you? They want you to call them father and mother, and they don't want no children, no wife. How are they better than you? You need to think about these things. But unfortunately, many people are too scared to even take a look at reality or to think about what could be different for that or something that needs to be changed that could make their life better. Unfortunately, most people, when they think about something that can make their life better, they're going to try to get a drug or some alcohol or some kind of intoxicant, caught up in gambling and whatnot. When Allah says in the Holy Quran, Allah warns us and protects us. Allah says intoxicants and gambling are an abomination. It's an atrocious thing to do with your time. Stay away from the filth and the corruption, brothers and sisters. Continuing with what we were saying. The rat thinks he's getting somewhere because he has animal movement. Animal movement won't save you. You've got to be thinking like a human soul. You got to be thinking the way the Creator says he wants the human being, the human soul, to think. How he wants the human being to show him worship, to show him service. How he wants the human being to perform with the time that he's given the human being. Brothers and sisters, you look at your hand sometime and you see the beautiful hand, the beautiful foot, the beautiful face, and you see the life in the flesh, and you see it round and soft and warm. One day it's going to be dead and hard and sunk in. Why? Because you, the human being, won't be there alive anymore. Allah's given you a chance, and the force of life, the power of life, the force of life is what's making you look good and healthy and desirable. But when that force of life starts giving, sinking in and starts going away and fading away, you're going to be ugly. Stuff going to fall out, fall off, and you're going to be ugly, and one day it's going to fall down, and they'll have to pick you up and wash you and prepare you for death. And if you're among the unbelievers, they're going to suck all the blood and other things out your body, take your organs out, maybe your brain out as part of the ritual of how they bury their dead. Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him, said, do not bother the dead other than to wash them and pray for them. He said, because the dead has feelings too. Now, I don't understand that, but he says that the dead are just like the living in their feeling. So, Muslims do not cut up no bodies. We don't do no autopsies. We don't remove no organs. We wash the person. We pray for the person. We perfume the person with various fragrances. We wrap the person in clean cloth. We have the janazah for the person, pray for the person. We take the person to their grave. Everybody who walks to the grave gets a huge blessing. Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to accompany the person to their grave, to attend the funeral, gives you a huge blessing called a qirat. And the qirat, they asked him, what is that? And he said, it's a mountain of gold the size of Mount Uhud, I believe is the mountain he compared it to. And then if you go with the, after the funeral, if you walk to the grave and see the person buried and you participate in the burial of the person, you get another qirat. I believe it's two qirats for that, for the whole janazah or funeral process. Brothers and sisters, let us wake up before it's too late. While you still have, like the Christian say, I heard the preacher say this one time, I went to visit one of the centers, and he said, while the blood's still running warm in your veins. Yeah. But don't believe in what they say is the creator. Believe in what Allah has written in this Holy Quran and what the prophet, who the prophets say is the creator, Allah, the one who made all everything that you see, the trees, the skies, the animals, the waters, the air, the light, the earth, the one who's made all these things. That's the creator of the heavens and the earth. The one who made all the everybody that ever walked this earth, everybody that ever had a name, everybody that ever had a mother, a father, everybody who ever existed, it's Allah who made them. And by his permission do they exist or come through nature from their mother, born from their mother and their father's body. Yes, the father deposited part of his body in the mother, and then it grows inside the mother, and then one day that person is born, and here you are. You better use your time wisely, brothers and sisters. You better realize the great favors and mercies that Allah has heaped on you, miracles that he has heaped on you and heaps on you every day. Allah says the people lose because they won't think. They won't reflect. They lose because they won't reflect. This movement has been chosen. This movement of Al-Islam has been chosen. It is programmed and processed right into nature, the very existence. Every fiber of your being, just like every fiber in the earth, exists only because Allah made it exist. Don't think that because Allah has given you movement and thought and speech, sight and hearing, that you're better than the rest of the creation. Allah says he can remove you and bring in a whole new people. Allah says if he wants to, he can destroy Jesus and his mother and everybody on earth. Who could stop them? Who could stop him? That's what the Quran says. If it was his will, he could remove Jesus. He could destroy Jesus, his mother, and everybody on earth. Who could stop him? Brothers and sisters, we must give up this slavery following in this society. The mental and psychological slavery masters, Satan's helpers, his associates, his partners, Satan's children. Child means somebody who grows up under someone's leadership and does what they do, like a child. But these people, they psychologically follow the devil. So they're the psychological or mental children of the devil, and they will do what their parent says. Jesus told them 2,000 years ago, he told the people, the Jews, that he was sent to teach and to remind, to follow the good teachings of Moses, peace be upon him, that Allah had given them. Jesus said to the people that he was missioned to, he said, he watched their behavior, and he looked at them, he said, you're just like your father, the devil. So he was a liar and a murderer from the beginning. The things he did, ye will do also. Now, does the Bible say Jesus destroyed them? No. In their book, in their idea, they destroyed Jesus. But it doesn't mean they destroyed him physically, because Allah says, though it was made to appear to them. But they did disrupt his mission, and they did misshape his mission so that the world we live in today, 2,000 years after Jesus lived, the world we live in today, we are unfortunately still under the power of those people that Jesus said was the children of the devil. They own the media. Don't you see how they're just making the psychological, the media world, the media, the psychological thinking, the spirituality of the society into a hell, and you feel like you don't know which way to think because of what they say on TV and in the radios and newspapers and internet and whatnot. They are in a position to create chaos, and they were doing it even during the time when Jesus came to them. That's why he looked at them and said, what you're doing is devil work. You are the children of the devil. You have the mindset of the devil. Don't tell me Hollywood and the media doesn't have the mindset of the devil. They are the descendants of those people who lived 2,000 years ago, right now. And you see the wicked things they do to people who come to them saying, can I work in the industry? If it's a female, they say, yes, you can work in the industry, but you got to be my girlfriend. If it's a man, now we see that they say the same thing to a man. So they're turning out homosexual. They're turning out, they're coming against the laws of nature, and they're actually turning men into, they're approaching men like they would approach a female. And Allah talks about that very, is a verse in the Holy Quran that talks about that very sinfulness, that particular specific sin of will you approach men instead of women? Those were the people that were destroyed during the time that is called Sodom and Gomorrah, during the time of Prophet Lot. In Arabic, his name is Lut. But they had gotten so wicked until they were having sex with men and preferred sex with men instead of women. And Lot even asked them specifically. He said, take my daughters and marry them if you would have your lust on people. And they said, we don't want no women. You know what we want. That's exactly what they said in the verse. They said, we don't want your women. You know what we want. They were talking to a messenger of Allah when they said that. And the people today, what do you see them doing? See? So do you? Are they seem like they're more related to what Lot was saying, warning them about? Or are they more related to what the devil wants people to do? You see it. You can answer that question. So one of my upcoming talks, I'm going to be asking the women. I'm going to be asking the Muslim sisters. I'm going to be asking the Muslim women. I'm going to be asking the mothers, be careful. Do not let the society and what the society says is reality or what it wants. Don't let them make you turn your boys and your men effeminate. Don't let them turn them into sissies. You know, sissy's not a bad word. It just means that a guy was calling his sister, he called her sissy. And if somebody was acting like a girl, he would call the boy, you acting like my sister, so you a sissy. That's how it evolved. So in itself, it's not a bad word, but we know exactly how it's used in the society and saying, don't be a homosexual. They don't want you to say that. They want you to call them something nice and pleasant like gay. No, call me gay. No. Homosexuality is an abomination. It's punishable in the Muslim religion. It's not punishable like they're just running around looking for people to torture and persecute and hurt. Allah uses punishment to make us stay away. Like if you put your hand near the fire, you know a punishment is coming. The closer you get to the fire, the more pain you feel. So you take your hand away from the fire. Allah doesn't want you to do things that are against him or against nature. So he puts punishments in there and pains and penalties in there so that you'll get back and stay away from that and not approach that, because Allah loves you and he wants you to be safe. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to have joy. Yeah, Allah wants you to have joy. So Allah does not want us to live a cartoon life. He does not want us to live a forbidden life, a wicked life. He does not want us to be in a position where the truth of the prophets condemns us. The warnings and the commands of the messengers of Allah, we don't want what they said to condemn us. So we don't do the things and refuse to do and get away from the things and stop doing the things that would cause us to be condemned. We don't want the masters of slavery, the mental and psychological slavery, mind slavery, where they want to control your mind. They go to your mind, they go at your mind. They go at your good behavior, your morals. We don't want people who have the mental and devilish intentions and thoughts to attack us in our feelings, in our thinkings, in our goodness, in our decency, in our honor, in our trustworthiness, and in our truth, in our virtues, in our happiness, in our joy. We don't want to be attacked in the things that bring pleasantness to us. We don't want to be attacked in the things that we like, that we know that we live in, that we know is the good life. Allah in his mercy gives us sleep for rest. He gives us sleep or he gives us rest. And the rest is from the burden of flesh. Flesh has weight. Flesh has power. Flesh has a gravity on it. When you even physically jump up, flesh has a gravity. And if you overeat and you become fat, flesh has gravity acting on flesh is a burden to you. Might give yourself a heart attack or a stroke. Body starts just crashing because body starts shutting down because you put a burden by overeating on your body, and your body cannot escape the power and the force of gravity, which is equal all over the planet for the most part. So Allah gives us rest. The rest for the flesh, one of the rests for the flesh is to stop eating. Give it a, what they say, take a break. Stop eating so much. One of the other rests for the flesh is to fast. Fast where you don't eat as a doctrine or a commanded order not to eat for a reason. And the Muslims have it because we are commanded by Allah to fast during the month of Ramadan. We fast during the month of Ramadan. And our fasting is to give us time to think about Allah and what Allah has done for us. And the main thing that Allah has done for us is given us guidance. So we follow the Holy Quran that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him. We follow the revelation that was given to him, Allah's own words given to him. And that's what brings us closer to Allah and also qualifies or strengthens our fasting during the month of Ramadan. There was another word I wanted to use, qualifies and validates. I believe is the word I'm looking for. Validate and verifies our fasting, and it's the rest that Allah gives us against letting the body be overweight, letting the body become enslaved by love for material things, eating and all that. You should take a break from even thinking about wealth, money, and all that all the time. Yes, because you would damage your mind by thinking about wealth all the time instead of giving out something and helping others around you sometime. And the same, it has the same laws applied like the eating. You're eating up everything and you're greedy. You're not thinking about others. I think scripture calls it gluttony, where you just eat up, eat up, eat up. And Shaitan wants us to eat, eat, eat. And he wants us to eat on all kind, in all kind of areas of life. When we start eating up the substance of other people, oppressing them by depriving them of something that they need. We don't even need it. We're living in our wants. Our greed and our wants are living together. We just more and more and more. We don't need that, but more and more and more. So we're living in our wants, and we live in our wants so much, so strongly, that we're depriving others of even the things they need. Might be so greedy that we'll tell a person, no, they need it, they about to die, we still say, ah, this is mine. Don't come over here. They used to have wars over water. Wars over, oh my goodness. Material things. Allah does not want us to worship the material side of life or the material world called the dunya. He does not want us to do that. He only wants us to have a share. It says in the Holy Quran, do not forget your share of the dunya. Doesn't say, don't forget to take over the whole dunya and it's all yours and you can just get as much and much and much as you want, never even taking a breath. No. So let us be a balanced people, a people with good sense, a people with good sense, a people with a common sense. Common means that you have, you know you have something that other people have and you have to respect it, that you have some of the same traits that everybody else has. That's common. That's what common means. You share in it. So let us not be those who lose our common sense and violate the rights of everybody else. Brothers and sisters, we're going to go into the second part of the talk, and we're going to end shortly. May Allah bless each and every one of us, and we appreciate you joining us today. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum. Don't hang up. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah. Wa salatu wa salamu ala al-khair mursaleen Muhammad ibn Abdullah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. And in the translation, we're saying praise be to Allah and peace and blessings be upon his servant Muhammad, the prophet, and upon his family and his companions and all of the believers the world over. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. So brothers and sisters, we thank Allah for guiding us and helping us and giving us this greatest of all ways of life. Allah says, Al-Islam will become the dominant. The dominant. That means the strongest, the most weighty, the most powerful, the one most in control. It will become the dominant religion on earth. So don't expect everybody to be Muslim, but expect this way of life to appear as being, as everybody using it. Do you know how much other people use of Al-Islam, even though they don't want to give it the credit for where it comes from? They sure do. They want to spend time occupying Allah's earth too, don't they? But they don't want to serve Allah, thank Allah for what he's doing for them. So they truly do not, truly have the right. They don't have the right to occupy the earth and to have all of its goodies. No, they're on borrowed time. Let's call it that. That's what they're on, borrowed time. But Allah, in his mercy, has given us strength, and he tells us to be serious about life. When we're born and we're young, Allah has mercy on us. And if our minds are not strongly developed, Allah has mercy on us. But we don't want to be a people who stay and play too long, playing all the time, playing. In this society, they're playing all the time. They're always in sex. They've turned sex into play. when sex is actually for our reproduction, to reproduce our kind. They turn it only into play, and then they tell you, they turn it so much into play, and they put so much nonsense, sin, and confusion in it, that they tell you it's okay for a man to play with another man when obviously, and a woman play with another woman, when obviously there will be no natural reproduction involved in it. I know they say, well, I'll just go to the scientist and I'll get a baby, a test tube baby. Well, that shows how crazy you become. That shows how crazy the society is. Why would a good Muslim be following a crazy society? A society that has people in it, enough people in the leadership of the society to show you, so you can obviously see that they're out of their minds. Why would you be following them? That's why every week I try to call to the development of a new race. We as people in this society, we must become a whole new people. Imam Wardeen Muhammad, said we should call ourselves Bilalians. Bilal was a great Muslim during the time of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. He was the first call unto prayer. When we say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, we're making a loud announcement and we're calling the people to prayer. And Bilal, who had been a slave, a black slave in Arabia during that time, the Prophet told him, peace be upon him, the Prophet told him to get up on top of the highest building, the masjid, and call the people to prayer. And so someone that the people normally would see as an inferior black, you know, even during those times they had the idea that people with dark skin somehow was closer to the devil. And so they always, in many instances in societies where the darker skinned people were looked upon as the inferior people, and the lighter skinned people were looked upon as the superior people. But all of that is hogwash and crap, because it has to do with your mind. It has to do, how you are has to do with your heart and your mind. The disposition of your heart and the sense that you got in your mind will dictate how you're going to be. And your skin color has to do more with the climate that you were raised up in, the foods that you ate, mostly in the climate that you were in, and your exposure to sunlight, your exposure or lack thereof. If you had very little sun in your area, you're going to be a lighter skinned person. And you know it in your own self. If you go outside for just a few days with just a t-shirt on, you'll see that all your skin will get darker. And when you go inside and take the t-shirt off, you'll see that the area where you had the t-shirt on leaves an imprint. Now imagine that being that way for years and years and years and years, and your whole race for thousands of years. Then if you're in the sun, you're going to be a darker people. If you're not in the sun, you're going to be a lighter people. It's just as simple as that. But the devil people take these ideas or these things that they see, and they turn them in, they spin them. They spin reality until it's unreality. And they turn it into something that's false. And then they turn around and use it on the ignorant people. So anyway, let us be a people who use our strength and don't play with sex, don't play with violence. Don't treat it like it's not an awful thing for people to be violent and lustful and wicked and selfish and greedy. We have to wake up, brothers and sisters, because if we play too much and treat things like they're not real or not important, then we will turn into almost like a cartoon. We will become a clown. We will become a clown, and we'll be a fool, and we'll be subject to the wildest styles and the weird desires of Satan, inclinations of Satan, his things he wants to do out of his weirdness, and they won't be reality. There'll be falsehoods. There'll be fiction. There'll be lies and foolishness. And Allah tells us, do not follow them, because the people of the world, they follow nothing but conjecture. That's the word I'm looking for. Guesswork. Don't follow them, because they'll follow, they're living. These people are living. The people of this society, leadership of this society and many others Don't think I'm not American. I'm the best American. I'm the one that's trying to save America. If we could get the drug dealers out, if I had a huge army, there wouldn't be no drugs here. There would be no drugs here, and very, very few people would have guns, only the ones that could shoot the people who don't want to act right. If we had, if America wanted to solve its problems, it has to take certain freedoms from certain people more aggressively. They're going to have to take certain freedoms away from everybody more aggressively. Otherwise, they'll play and they'll clown our society out of existence. And their wild appetites will be the strongest things people will be living by, just almost like it is now. So the people of the society live by conjecture, and they're subject to the lies of their so-called big heads, the judges, the philosophers, the politicians, the priests, the rabbis. What they say is what the people are living by. I hope you realize this. What they say, these so-called leaders say, is what the people live by, because they sit down and write books of philosophy and doctrines, change righteous books into falsehood, and switch goodness and righteousness and truth, switch it for falsehood. That's what the people are living by right now. And they call it life in society. So we don't want to live like they live. And we don't want to be forced to move faster than we have the knowledge or the intelligence and the sense to move. We don't want to move faster than we have the knowledge and the understanding, the truth, the sight, the vision to be able to move by at that speed. Because if somebody's forcing you, like they're speeding up the society, they're forcing you into a situation where you can't think rationally or sensibly. They're forcing you to be to go against order and go against efficiency. You can be very efficient if you have the time to organize and to order things, to put them in their proper place. Then you can move forward with efficiency. And if you get a high level of efficiency, you might can speed up your actions a little bit, or to reduce the time that you do things in. You can do things faster. But we do not want to substitute speed for quality efficiency. You get to moving so fast that now the efficiency begins to break down, and now all you have is chaos, fast, fast chaos and confusion like what you see in society. And that is nothing but psychological darkness, because you can't see through it. Even though you might be able to see with your physical eyes, psychologically you can't see through it. It will become darkness, because you can't see through the confusion and the madness and the lies and the superstition and the mythology. They'll give you a statue to worship, which is part of mythology and superstition, instead of telling you to worship the creator of the heavens and the earth, who is responsible for all the natural and real things. So we never want to replace our intelligence and our righteousness with speed. Speed should follow your efficiency. Be efficient, then fast. Be efficient, then fast. Intelligence and right, be intelligent and right, and then fast. Then be efficient. Be efficient and then fast. So intelligent and righteousness equals efficiency. Putting things in their proper place, that's efficiency. And you will be rewarded with wisdom, and you'll be able to make other people more efficient. A lot of the mistakes that people make is because they put speed ahead of their what is morally and intelligently right. Never put speed ahead of God thinking, what God has given you to think. And I hope you hear what I'm saying. May Allah bless each and every one of you. This concludes our talk for today. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi.
Ya yuhaladina amanu salawalehu wasalimu taslima. And that means Allah and his angels do salute Prophet Muhammad, the prayer and the peace be upon him. O you who believe, do you likewise and give him proper salute. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyyatina qurrata ayuna and aj'alna lil-muttaqina imama. Our Lord, give us good in this, give us, subhanAllah. Our Lord, give us wives and offspring that will be a comfort to our eyes and grant us the grace to lead the righteous. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala alayhi Muhammad. Kama salaita ala Ibrahim wa ala alayhi Ibrahim innaka hamidu majid. Allahumma barak ala alayhi Muhammad. Kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala alayhi Ibrahim til alamin innaka hamidu majid. Our Lord, exalt Muhammad and the family of Muhammad as you did exalt Ibrahim and his family. And our Lord, bless Muhammad and the family of Muhammad as you did bless Ibrahim and his family. For surely you are praised and magnified. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhabannar. Our Lord, give us good in this world and good in the hereafter and save us from the penalty of the hell fire. Aqimis salat. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya al-salah, hayya al-salah, hayya al-falah, hayya al-falah. Qad qama as-salah, qad qama as-salah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah Muhammadan Rasulullah. Allahu Akbar. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, maliki yawmi d-deen, iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'een, ihdina sirat al-mustaqeem, sirat al-lazina an'amta alayhim, غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق. اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. الله أكبر. سميع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا صراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألف لام ميم. ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبل وبالآخرة هم يوقنون أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Brothers and sisters, may Allah bless each and every one of you. Peace be unto you. As-salamu alaykum. We're going to make a dua for those who are sick and shut in and those who have passed on. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. O Allah, have mercy upon us and forgive us our sins. Let us be of those who follow the Prophet. Allah, let us be of those who, if we're sick and shut in, O Allah, let us get strength and give us strength and aid us, O Allah, so we can get back on our feet and get back involved with our lives and with our families and with life. And O Allah, bless those who are in the graves, who have passed on, and have mercy upon them, forgive them their sins, and admit them into paradise. And O Allah, let their families not grieve, but join them with their families in the hereafter of those who believe. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. Our brothers and sisters, we really appreciate you joining us today. And we definitely want to acknowledge the fact that we're getting so much support from the Blog Talk Radio people, blogtalkradio.com, and especially one of our imams are definitely strongly contributing and supporting Imam, and that's Imam Amin Muhammad. And so we want to let all of them know that we appreciate them, and we thank them for participating in our Jumu'ah with us and for believing in us. And they believe in Allah, then when we believe in Allah, we can believe in other Muslims. We can believe in Muslims. So let us all work hard and be in unity in everything that we can. As I mentioned earlier, even if we are not able to be 100% of something, if we are 10% or 30% or 50%, the purity of that 10 or 30 or 50% is so strong, being a Muslim, that it matters. It matters, and it will change things. So, brothers and sisters, thank you again for joining us. May Allah bless each and every one of you. And inshallah, we'll hear from you during the week. And if not, we hope to send out a message, a notice, to an alert to let you know that what we're going to be doing for the next Jumu'ah and any other activities that's going on in between that. So, peace be unto you. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. May Allah bless each and every one of you. Alhamdulillah.